Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Let's read the word of the Lord, Matthew 8, starting in verse 1. If you're able to stand for 17 verses, wonderful. If you're not able to, please be comfortably seated. When he had come down from the mountain, New King James, Matthew 8, verse 1. When he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Verse 3, then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Verse 4, Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go your way and show yourself to the priests and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy you should come under my roof, but only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness, and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. And as you have believed, so let it be done for you. Oh, I think we should probably read that verse together. Verse 13. Jesus said to the centurion, would you help me? Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. My. Verse 14. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. And evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. He cast out spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Let's pray. Gracious, awesome, mighty God, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God, and we know that your word will endure, will remain forever. Heaven and earth will pass away. We stand here tonight as a company of people so grateful for all that you've done in our own lives, so grateful for what you're going to do even tonight and beyond this week. Thank you for saving, healing, delivering. Thank you for touching people and filling people full of hope tonight. Thank you that the enemy is bound, gagged, and muzzled. Thank you that you're going to touch lives and change people tonight profoundly. Have your will and have your way. Would you just lay hands on your own heart and pray in the spirit if you have that freedom? We thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Matthew's theme, every gospel, every book has a theme. Every Bible means book. Within the Bible, there are what we call books or letters. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the four gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the synoptic gospels because they have commonality. They're very similar. John is very different than all the rest. The theme of Matthew is that Jesus is the king. And the power of the kingdom of God is put on display. And I will say that it's important for that to happen. It is biblically incorrect if you have the gospel preached and there's no display. There's no demonstration. No one gets healed. No one gets delivered. No one gets cured. No one gets set free. Demons never came out. If you leave this place, if you're here for any length of time and your life does not change, something's really wrong. And that really wrong thing could be in you, and you could be very stubborn-hearted, and maybe you're coming for other alternative reasons than seeking God. But if you come, I had this brother, I think he's here tonight, but he's totally different. Like, we should do before and after pictures. I know I've said that. It would be weird if we'd like, hi, you look like you've got devils and you're really miserable. Can I take your picture? Because after this next service, you're not going to look anything the same, and we want to compare the photos because it's like amazing. Just sorrow-filled. There you are. Would you come here? Would you come here? Can I pick on you? Come make your, yes, come. I've forgotten your name. I'm so sorry. You're so filled with joy. What a transformation took place in your life. Come here. I just want you to share for a moment. What happened to you? Because I saw you come to the front. Here, come turn this way. I saw you come to the front. Everybody can see on the camera, so you all right?
Yep.
I saw you, and you were sad. And then I saw you, and you were glad. And it's very clear to me that something happened. What happened?
Well, kings.
He said kings. What a great answer.
Kings changed my life here.
I'm so glad you're here, and I hope I haven't embarrassed you, but I saw a transformation in you. Yeah. And it's not just you. Thank you. Would you put your hands together for him? It's not just him. It's anybody that comes and encounters God. Your life will be changed. That's what happens. That's what happens. Your marriage will be healed. Your kids will be healed. You'll be set free. I asked him what happened. He said kings. And the reason it happened here at Kings is because the king is here, for which he gets all the glory. Can you say amen? Bless you. I came in this place a broken young man many, many years ago. I am no longer broken, and I'm no longer a young man, although I feel like it. How many of you feel like it? How many of you are it? You are a young man. The power of the kingdom of God is put on display here in this text and everywhere Jesus went. I mean, look at the very first verse. He came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Why? Why would they follow him? It's because he has what they're looking for. He has the answer for your life. He has healing. He has freedom. He has deliverance. He has provision. He's God, and he made you. Even when you were yet in your mother's womb, he knit you together. I mean, that's an amazing thought. The Creator, God Almighty, stepped out of eternity into time and space to redeem mankind. The curse that came through Adam, left through the last Adam. You don't have to be cursed. You don't have to be blessed. You don't have to be cursed. You don't have to be addicted. You can be blessed. Listen, I still don't know what quite day it is. I lost 15. Somebody said, you gained 15 hours. Call it whatever you want. I flew from the other side of the world to India. And tonight, I'm just like, we're going to make it. We're going to make it through this service. If I say anything tonight that's not biblical, that's not what I meant. Lift your hands to heaven. It's like, anybody know what I'm talking about? You quote the book of Amos and you really meant something else. Come on, give me mercy here. God wants you blessed. That's why he came. He doesn't want you stressed. He wants you blessed. He wants you healed. You can't argue that from Scripture. And even in the text, it says, and all who came to him were healed. So the power of the kingdom of God is put on display here, but the power of the kingdom of God is put on display everywhere Jesus came. And wherever he is today, because he's the same, he puts his power on display. Sometimes it's more demonstrative than others. Other times it might be subtle. You know, we as Pentecostals like seeing some crazy manifestation. At least I do. I love when I see people shake and cry. I'm like, but one of the amazing things I've found as I've gotten older in the Lord, as I begin to grow up in God, many of the deep things that happen in people, you can't even tell that it's happening. And then later they come back and they're just changed. I remember we had a man come. He was a missionary and he wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit. By a divine appointment, I asked him to preach on a Sunday night. He preached. People tried his yak butter. He was a Baptist. He drank the yak milk and had the yak butter. Some of you might remember. It's a long time ago. And after everybody cleared out, it was a Sunday night, everybody left. And he said, okay, I want what you have. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you know what I'm talking about. I'm like, yeah, I actually do know what you're talking about. You want the shandalalamaha, fire. You want the fire. You want the Holy Ghost. And so I said, okay. He said, can we go somewhere? I said, yeah. So I took him up to my office. And I said, all right, here we go. I taught him for just a moment, Acts 2, Acts 8. Acts 10, Acts 19, taught him about the baptism of the Spirit, taught him about the initial evidence of being baptized, being filled with the Spirit, which is what Pastor Kimmy was talking about that happened in the back with your children, some of your children. The initial evidence is praying in tongues. And I talked about the power of the Holy Ghost, and I preached a little mini sermon. And he got on his knees, and he lifted his hands and said, I'm ready. I said, okay, I'm going to pray. So I walk back and forth. I'm walking back and forth. I'm praying in the Spirit. And I started praying, God, now release your power. And I felt the power of heaven coursing through. Like I thought my hands were going to shoot off the ends of my wrists. I'm talking fire and power. Finished praying for him. Doesn't seem like anything's happening. He goes like this. Yeah, I don't know. I was like, what? I think it was like a top 10 touch for God for me, and he receives nothing. He's like, hey, I just don't want to fake it. I'm like, I'm glad. I don't think you should fake it. How many of you said, don't fake it? Yeah, don't fake it. That's like, she tied her bow tie in a Honda. No, that's not tongues, okay? Don't let anybody try to tell you that you should tie your bow tie in a Honda. She tied a bow tie in a Honda. She tied a bow tie to a Honda. No. Come on, Pastor Kirsten. So I said, I'm glad you don't want to fake it. I prayed one more time, just as powerful as the first time for me, nothing for him that I could tell. So I pulled every Spirit-filled book about baptism of the Spirit and signs and wonders and miracles. I took a stack of books. I handed them to him. And I put him in his little car, and he drove off, and he went back to a city and a nation that I can't mention. And that's where he was for 5 years as a missionary before that time. He had one convert, one. He never called me. I never heard from him until like 5 years later. He calls me. He says, hey, I'm back in town. I'm like, who's this? And he tells me, I'm like, oh. And he sounded like way happier than before. He said, yeah, I probably should have called you. I'm like, yeah, well, what happened? He said, oh, can we go to lunch? So we went to lunch right here at Evangelos, sat down at lunch. And he said, you know when I came? I'm like, yeah, I remember. He said, you know when you laid hands on me? It's like, yeah, I remember. He said, I was driving to Anchorage. I was going across the mud flats, and God came into my car, and fire came on me, and I began to pray in other tongues, and my life was forever changed. I got home, and he's telling me this story. I'm like, dude, why didn't you call me? What a punk. Why didn't you call me? So I said, he said, yeah, I should have called you probably, but, you know, I just was busy. It was 5 years later, and he tells me when he got home, his wife looked at him. He woke up his wife. It was late. He woke her up. She took one look at him and said, oh, my gosh, you got it. He said, yes, I did, and he laid hands on his wife, and she got filled with the Spirit. They got on an airplane 2 days later and went off to a city and a nation that I can't mention, went back home to the same place where they are, where they had one convert in 5 years, walked in, saw his landlord who had a chronic problem with his leg. And when he saw the landlord, he thought, I should probably pray for him. He had never had the thought of praying for healing for his landlord before, but he has the thought of praying for the healing for his landlord now. He says, can I pray for you? The landlord says, okay. He lays hands on him, and he gets miraculously healed, becomes his second convert. And then what happens over the next 5 years is that hundreds of people come to Christ, and they get a plan for taking the nation. And they launch these businesses, which I won't mention even what those are, just in case, all over. And now they actually got caught. They were there for about 10 years. They got caught by the government. They were persecuted, brought before the government, and very possibly were going to lose their lives. But like an angel of the Lord came in at the interrogation, put the fear of God on the interrogators, and they just said, you know, we don't know what we're doing. You need to leave. You need to just go back to America. They went back to America, and they left this holy fire move of God, people filled with the Spirit. I mean, is that not amazing? Come on, somebody say hallelujah. That's what should happen in church. And if you've not been filled with the Spirit, you need that. It takes God to live for God. Say that. It takes God to live for God. He doesn't expect you to just white knuckle it and hope that you make it. He gives you fire to resist the enemy, power to overcome sin, power to overcome sickness, power to be a witness, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need the baptism. Somebody said, there's something different about Kings. What is it? It's that. It's unashamed. Unashamed Spirit-filled. Because I've been in some places where like, we're sort of closet Spirit-filled people. In other words, they want to just be all kind and sweet. And we should be kind and sweet, and I'm working on that. If you're working on that, would you lift a hand? Pastor Christian, lift your hand. I'm working on being kind and sweet. I can be a little intense. It's great for breaking through regions and smashing stuff. Not so good when it comes to being kind to people who have been offended and you just want to slap them. Come on, raise your hand if you need God to help you become more like him. You do. We all need that. It takes God to live for God. And in many churches, it's called Spirit-filled. They believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but it's nothing that'll happen inside the congregation because of afraid of offending people. I'm going to tell you, this culture, this generation longs for some real power, longs for manifestation, for healing and deliverance. The power of the enemy is very strong, ripping off families and stealing and perverting. But the power of God should not be in a back room. It should be in the main room, perfectly in order and sometimes a holy chaos. You know, I was talking to the church in India, and it is amazing to drive there. I didn't get to drive. They asked me, you want to drive? I said, yeah. And they're like, oh. They thought I'd say no, but I thought, oh, it's awesome. I just need to get an international driver's license. Not that they would ever check, because you hardly ever see any authorities. It's chaos. It's like, but there's not that many crashes. No, I mean, it's... You can't imagine. You go to my Instagram, you look at some of the posts I did, all you see is like thousands of cars, like four people riding on a scooter at a time, scooters everywhere, cars everywhere, taxis everywhere. No, there's hardly any lights. These traffic circles, I mean, everything just mashes everywhere and you can't believe there's not an accident. That's the way church should be. Well, it's like a holy chaos. We should let God come and be God. And it's okay if somebody weeps, and it's okay if somebody cries, and it's okay if somebody happens to be lying on the ground. By the way, if you find people lying on the carpet, they still have feelings. Don't step on them. If you see somebody lying in the parking lot, it's not a speed bump put there by Pastor Kirsten and the administrative team. Although we are thinking about it for some of you speed through the parking lot so fast. Pastor Karen. My wife's feeling so much better, almost came tonight, but she's not quite there. So the power of the kingdom of God is put on display here, and it is really what should happen every time we gather. It's what happens in life groups, or should happen in a life group. We hope that it does. We believe that it does. But it's leadership that ushers that in. You know, if we're gonna pray for the sick, you know where that's going to happen? And in this particular venue, I'm going to call for it and move in that direction. If I never move in that direction, now you might pray for someone and at their sake and pray for them, and that'd be great, and I hope you do pray for people. But if a pastor or a leader, whoever's leading a service, doesn't make a choice to move into the things of the Spirit, it's never happening. And you say, like, we just want the Lord, we want the Lord. But you're stiff as a board, and you got compromise in your life, pastor. And you want to move with the Spirit. What do you think is going to come and bypass you? You're afraid, you've got to, you know, a spirit of control. You will never have revival with a spirit of control, ever. Yet at the same time, you have to have discernment. And there has to be very clear authority. And there's clear authority here. Believe me, if you get up and start quacking like a duck, we will minister to you in a very special way. start doing something that's out of order, you're gonna get corrected. Raise your hands to heaven and say hallelujah. All right, these three miracles here are astounding, and we'll look at them as we move forward now. The leper, if you need to understand what leprosy is, Hansen's disease, a horrible disease that's been eradicated mostly, at least in the Western world. But a leper, that condition was very contagious, and I don't know the exact definition of what leprosy or Hansen's disease is, but I mean, you're slowly dying, your parts of your body basically rot and fall off. And so in a leper in the day of Christ in the first century, they were sent off to leper colonies. I lived on the island of Molokai, and they had a little peninsula called Kalapapa, and they would, back, you know, the 100 years before, they would bring people to Kalapapa and push them off the boat. And if they could swim in to make it, then they could stay at the leper colony. They had colonies. You couldn't touch a leper. But look what Jesus does. I think he identifies with his condition. The leper comes worshiping. Total violation, according to Levitical law. Violates that. Verse 2, worships. Comes worshiping. And he believed that Jesus could heal him. Come on, look with me. Look at verse 2. And behold, a leper came and worshiped and said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. But he's not even supposed to be there, and he realizes he might very well be killed or stoned or receive the judgment of the law, the Levitical law, being there in the crowd of people with Jesus. Multitudes are there, and there's a leper. And can you imagine what other people are doing? What are you doing, you freak? You're a leper. Get out of here. He doesn't care. You know, when you get really hungry and thirsty for Jesus, you really don't care. Take 15 offerings. Talk about increase all you want. Just heal me, set me free. I'm sick of being in poverty. I'm sick of being broke. I'm sick of being depressed. I want to be, you know, it's amazing when you get desperate and hungry, you don't really give a flip about certain other things. You can be called a dog by Jesus, and she still says, well, just, that's fine, whatever. Can you heal my daughter? Because, I mean, what's he going to do? He's dying of leprosy. So, you know, desperation's a powerful thing. In India, they were desperate. They were so desperate. And the reason there's so many great miracles there, I'm convinced. They have no doctor. They have no plan B. They have no plan C. And if God doesn't touch them, then they're all just going to stay tormented, dying. Demonized people at a level that was astounding. And yet, what's amazing to me, come on. What's amazing to me is that the youth over there seem, which is appearance of what I'm looking at, seem to have a greater purity than maybe many of the youth that are here. That whole goth thing, that whole death thing, this whole that you can see sometimes in the youth. Well, I don't see the youth here like that. Yeah, they're church kids mostly here. We're reaching out. Praise God. Looking at people, they were seemingly less defiled than if you went to any major city in America. You go to cities in America, there's people walking around like zombies. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Fentanyl, crisis, all kinds of stuff. And we're like, oh, India, that's where there's real devils. I got news for you. Those devils are in America too, and maybe even more so. Except for those temple zombies, which I'll tell you about next Sunday night. That was intense. I did say zombies. Let's move on. He believed that he could heal him. And so what's amazing is he says to Jesus, if you're willing, you've got to understand and know this tonight, that God is not only willing. That's why he came. He came for the sick. He came for the broken. He came for the withered. If you're willing. Jesus said, I am willing. Be cleaned. Powerful miracle. He had compassion on him. He touched him. Compassion's a key for releasing power. I was moved very, very strongly at this orphanage. Well, everywhere we went, we were moved. I mean, you had to have some dead, stony heart to not be moved by what you would see when I was in India. He had compassion, you know, compassion. Have compassion on people. Have compassion. I have compassion on people. I endeavor to. I get in the flesh, sometimes I don't have such compassion. I get filled with the Spirit. Isn't that amazing? You get filled with the Spirit, you have a greater compassion. You care for people. Compassion feels what other people feel. Sympathy just feels bad for somebody. Nobody needs your sympathy. People need compassion. Can you say amen? And Jesus had compassion on him. And he restored him completely, verse 4. Well, he commands him, commanded them to be clean, right there in the verse. Commanded them to be clean. He didn't beg. He didn't plead. I've had people pray for the sick, and I just like, I don't know, they should probably stop. Because they pray completely unbiblically. I remember many years ago, I was part of a discipleship program, like many years ago. And I came into that, I was driving a car. It was a rental car. And I wanted to die, all right? So I brought the car up. Mom, I don't think you ever heard the story, sorry. Brought the car up to 102. My mom loves when I tell stories about my past life. This is a really good one. I'll tell all the fine details. I'm driving approximately 120 miles an hour, and I want to flip the car. So I go to flip the car. It's down the Pililani Highway in Maui, Hawaii. I go to flip the car, and I can't. It's like an angel's like, no. Holding the wheel, I'm like, I can't turn the wheel. The car stays on the road. I'm going 120, and I can't flip the car. It's like, once again, here I am, despairing of life. And I was born again, by the way. So I can't flip the car, and there was a group, a mentoring group taking place at a local church, and I knew it. And so I came into that mentoring group. I knew there's going to be a group of leaders. It was not this church. It was another church. I was confused at that time. And I went into that. I'll never forget it. I went into that meeting. I bust in the door. I need help. Okay, there's about 25 people there. The pastor has a cup of coffee. Has anybody ever seen that, just casually drinking coffee while they're teaching or whatever? Drinks his coffee and says, oh, I think Daniel needs prayer. I thought, yeah, I need prayer. I said, let's pray for Daniel. Would you be Daniel for just a second? Okay, so they came. Come on, let's come around to Daniel, would you? And I'll be the pastor with the cup of coffee. So let's pray for Daniel. And so, are you ready? Okay. And everybody comes. I don't even think they put their hands out, honestly. I think they just stood there. And I think I lifted my hands. He drank his coffee and said, Lord, you know Daniel's heart. You know what he's going through. God, would you help Daniel? Amen. We're glad you're here. And he walked off, and I thought, what kind of sissified, powerless prayer was that? I mean, I wasn't disciple. I'm thinking, what kind of lame sauce? It's like Taco Bell hot sauce. What is that? Taco Bell hot sauce is weak. Go to India and eat some of that, and I'll show you hot sauce. What kind of lame duck is that? Lord, Lord, would you please help him? You know his heart, oh God. Please help him. Amen. They walked away. I still have a demon that's on me, and I thought, that was lame. And everybody's kind of looking at me, scared. And I said, thanks. And I walked out, and I thought, I don't ever want to be a part of something like that. So I went to King's. It got set free. It's a long time ago. There's power in prayer. And you need to understand the command. He commands leprosy. He didn't beg leprosy. He didn't plead with leprosy. Oh, leprosy. Leprosy. Oh, leprosy. Lord, would you help him? If you would, please, kindly. Oh, that's not what he does. He commands leprosy. You need to drive stuff off of people, out of your life. You need to speak to things with authority, a command. He didn't beg. He didn't beg. He commanded. The devil comes and asks to be sent into the pigs, which was the first deviled ham that was ever created. He commanded them to be clean. He spoke the word, and he completely restored them, verse 4. And then following tradition, he sent the leper to talk to the priest. The second scenario here, the second story is a Samaritan, the centurion. The centurion's a man of great faith. Jesus marveled at his faith, marveled at him. And he simply just asked Jesus, just speak the word. I'm a man under authority. If you speak the word, I understand it. Because if I say to someone, go, they go. And if I say to someone, come, they comes. I understand authority. You have all authority. Speak the word. He speaks the word. And Jesus is marvels because he understood. The man understood authority. He recognized Jesus' authority. If you don't understand that you have authority by the word of God, you will not operate in it. And you will not exercise it. And you will not command anything. And you will plead and you'll hope and you'll beg God. Oh, God, please, God. Oh, please. You don't have to beg God. He sent his son, Jesus, to die on a cross so you could. Yeah, there's a reverence and there's an honor and there's humility and there's meekness and there's a crying out for mercy. And I've seen some evangelists be like, and then I came with authority. Even the apostle Paul said God had mercy on us and healed him. There's mercy. There's an aspect of mercy. But when you understand what God's will is, you stand on it, you speak it based upon the authority of God's word. On the authority of what? God. On the authority of what? God. Right. So when you know what God's word says and you stand in that place of authority and you decree it and you proclaim it, that's how awakening will take place. That's how revival will happen. People need to rise up in the authority of God. Who's your ultimate authority? The ultimate authority is not the government. I certainly am not the ultimate authority. The ultimate authority is God's word. And you need to settle that and base your faith on that. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. He understood that. The centurion believed when he gave him the word that it took place. He's like, thanks. And then he goes home and finds out that his servant was healed that very hour. Peter's mother-in-law, the same story is in Luke 4, verse 39. He touched your hand. He touched your hand and healed her. Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother, his mother-in-law, laying sick with a fever. Verse 15, he touched her hand and the fever left her. There's many different ways that healing and miracles are released. You should study and know them. Why? Because God wants to do that in you and through you. If you relegate the word of God to being manifest or to put on display by some pastor, and I'm honored to be a pastor, but it should be put on display by every single believer. Every single person has authority. Jesus lives on the inside of you, and if you'll rise up and understand what God's word says and you move in that dimension, you will see a release of his power. You can see the blind healed. Their eyes can be opened. Deaf ears can be unstopped. Can you imagine what would happen if just this room, there's 200 people here, maybe 250. They had 120 that turned the known world upside down. Just 120, half this size. They got filled with fire. And they we're having church because 120 people believed the word and went forth. What would happen? What would happen? Jesus, this miracle worker, when he touches you, he makes you one too. You're to be a miracle worker. I probably should have called it the name of this sermon. You're a miracle worker. Why does Jesus heal? Why does he do that? Well, it's right. The key there is this quote from Isaiah 53. Look at verse 17. That it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah who came to undo all the curse that came through Adam. He's the Messiah. He was pierced for our transgressions, wounded for our iniquity. The chastisement that brought us peace was put upon him. And he said it would be better that I would go, that I might send another. It's better that Jesus left. It's kind of inconceivable until you're filled with the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, and then it makes perfect sense. The multiplication of his power put on display through the church, through you. Faith is needed. That's what I believe God's speaking to us, that faith is needed. You see it in three ways: the leper's faith, the centurion's faith, and the faith of the multitudes there who God healed. The leper's faith, he came and he worshiped and believed, but he lacked understanding. You need to gain understanding. It's not God's will for you to have cancer, for you to have a disease. There's no sickness in heaven. I don't have the full picture on why some sickness remains and other sickness doesn't, but I do understand that many times I've backed off of exercising authority, leaning on God's sovereignty. Listen close to what I said. I've backed off of authority because it didn't quite change right away. Then I leaned on God's sovereignty, which is, you know, he's good. Sovereign means he does what he wants, when he wants to, whoever he wants to. He's a good God. He's good. You can lean on him. But could it be that because of leaning on his sovereignty, instead of pressing through unbelief and declaring God's word, could it be that the manifestation of the miracle didn't happen because you let off? It absolutely could be, and it's in the text. It's in the text here. According to your faith. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Immediately the leprosy left. I pray now over every person here who's battling with sickness or disease in the name of Jesus to be healed. Well, look at verse 13, the centurion's faith. I don't like this scripture on one hand. On the other hand, I'm glad that it illuminates my understanding. You should underline it in your Bible. Verse 13, go your way. You all see that? As you have believed. Another way to say that, according to your faith, may be done unto you. Now, here's the thing. We don't like that, generally speaking, because it puts responsibility on us. As I have believed. Well, how are you believing? I'm going over here because I'm not feeling love on that side, so I'm going over here. How are you believing, actually, right now? What are you believing for? What are you believing for? What are you believing for? What are you believing God to do this year in your life? This is going to be the next 6 months for you, my beloved friend. The next 6 months for you is going to be a time of acceleration and breakthrough. You've been believing. You're hearing this word. It's stirring in your heart according to your faith. Expand your horizon. Expand your capacity to believe and see it come to pass. It will happen according to his word. What are you believing for? What are you believing for? I don't like that. I know, because it makes you responsible. You're responsible. Yes, God's good. Yes, he shows up. Yes, he manifests his power. Thank God for all of that. But how about, what are you believing for? What is God's word? What is your level of belief? Where are you at? It's one of the things I loved about Jesse Duplantis. He just believes the word. And he preaches the word. What does the word say? You can have what the word says. In fact, real success is being who he says you can be, having what he says you can have, doing what he says you can do, and hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. What are you believing for? Is it possible? Is it remotely possible that we limit what God can do because of our lack of belief, our lack of faith, and we hold back and we don't believe? It is possible. And we don't like that. Because it makes you responsible. Makes me responsible. Lift your hands and say, oh God, help me. Lord, help me. And he says, I am. I'm trying to. Are you fully persuaded back to my dream with these two angels? Are you? If God's word is the final authority, well, if his word is not the final authority, who is your final authority? Probably you. How's that working out? All right, what Jesus did, he still does today. He still heals. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still does miracles. He still sets the captives free. He still has compassion. He still provides. He still delivers. He still sets those at liberty, those that are in captivity at liberty. That's what he does.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.